If you like what we're doing here, Anime Cherry Bomb, make sure to leave us a like or a 5-star review. And while you're at it, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. Welcome to Anime Cherry Bomb, where we review all your favorite anime, and sometimes your least favorite anime. I'm the 8th generation, Aaron Torres, and with me is the 3rd generation, Jay Mendoza. Jay, how's it going?
Going good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. I'm really excited to talk about this anime, Jay.
Yeah, this is like an anime that, like, I mean, like, I'm going to read the description right now. This is probably something that I, like, probably would never have watched by myself. So I'm really glad that you picked it.
Yeah, this has been on my list since it aired. I forget what YouTuber had mentioned. It was like, don't sleep on this anime. And I've been wanting to watch it, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah.
And what anime were we not disappointed by or surprised by, Jay?
The Shinigami classic, Shouigenroku Rakugo Shinji.
Oh, Shinju.
Shinju. Oh, yeah.
And do you have...
Sorry.
And do you have the synopsis already, Jay?
So, this is brought to us by Crunchyroll. So, upon his release from prison, a man seeks out the famous comedic storyteller Yakumo after falling in love with his rendition of a story called Shinigami. Yakumo accepts the ex-convict as his apprentice, nicknaming him Yatoro. As Yatoro gets acclimated to his new life, he meets Konatsu, a girl in the care of Yakumo, Yakumu, I've been saying it wrong this whole time, who wants to become a performer as well, but is unable to because she is a woman.
Yeah, pretty much it.
Yeah, other than me saying Yakumo instead of Yakumo.
Yeah.
I got school rumble on the mind.
I know. Her not being able to learn really made me mad. Especially when we see her in the past when she was like a little kid doing Rakugo. Anyway, yeah. we'll get to it, but God. Are you ready for the facts, Jay?
Yes. Hit me with them.
Okay, so this is 2016. 25 episodes, and it's a historical drama. Josei. Which I think is our second Josei we might have watched. And Josei is, it's like
an adult
female
woman?
Version, yeah, of Seinen or Sanin or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so adult women anime. It was created by Haruko Komoda. The studio was Studio Dean, which they have done Konosuba, okay. Fate's Day Night, Is This a Zombie? When They Cry in Sankorea, so go out and check all those podcasts. Weirdly, probably sneaky, we've done a lot of Studio Dean anime without even
realizing it. Yeah, without doing it. Definitely not intentional.
Yeah. And then the director, it was directed by Shinichi Omada, and he also directed Sankorea and is currently directing Love is War, which I'm very excited to cover as soon as that's done.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good one. That's the one where, like, is it the one where, like, both they don't want to confess or something
like
that?
Yeah, both characters, like, are in love with each other, but they want to get the other to confess.
Yeah.
It's pretty
really
good.
Want to do that one.
Pretty strong. This is licensed by Crunchyroll. The music was by Kana Shibu, and she's only done an anime called Devil's Lane besides this. The openings are Urashi Shinju and Imawa no Shinigami, both by Megumi Hayashibara. And the endings are Kawa Taradoki and Hiko Bayuru by Kana Shube. So what'd you think of the music, Jay?
It's fantastic.
I really love the jazz and
the traditional music.
Yeah, traditional music for sure. I super love like lounge music, I guess is the other word I'm looking for, like lounge
okay
jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Really
like,
strong,
like soft jazz.
Yeah, basically like soft jazz. And then the traditional music always with the shimisens and really good. I love it.
Yeah, the shimisens really good in this one.
Singing also really good.
And for sure.
And then the openings and endings, all really freaking good.
Yeah, not only like cinematically and the art style and all that stuff, but the music, like we're talking about, is fantastic. I really like the first opening.
Yeah, they're both really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one little fun fact I got for you, the first female master, Rakugo master, was actually in 1991. They achieved
1990?
Yeah, 1991 was the first. The first two female masters were named.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's really cool.
All right, Jay, is anything general you want to bring up?
I mean, just in general, this anime, like, this was definitely a big surprise for me. Because, like, the way that you described it and, like, it just feels like something that, like, I wouldn't necessarily watch by myself.
Man, I mean, I'm actually with you. Even though this has been on my list to watch, the idea of like Rakugo never really interested me, so that's why I never watched it.
Yeah, it's just like it's like a mix of like stand up comedy and like fairy tales and like poetry. a lot of things. Yeah, poetry. Yeah.
It's really weird, and what this anime does a good job of is it gets you into that world, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
I was immediately... From the very first episode, I was sucked into this anime. I was so enthralled by it. It was... What a great first episode to, like, get you into the anime.
I think I equate it to, like, a sports anime. Like, before Haikyuu, I didn't care about volleyball. I still don't care about volleyball.
Yeah.
But... I'll watch the heck out of Haikyuu, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Same thing with this. I don't care about Rakugo, but... God, I didn't want this anime to end. I could have watched years and years of this anime.
I know, for sure. I would love just, like, just straight stories.
Right.
Of these characters just telling a story. Because, like, some of my favorite parts were just the long, drawn-out, like, one-shot things of just them... talking.
Yo, and we're gonna get into a lot of that in cinematography, because they do a lot of cool cinematography tricks with not keeping it just like a static shot, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So do you want to let's talk about this first, right?
Okay.
Who do you think is Shinosuke's father?
Well, they make you believe that it's the gang leader, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think Yakumo would do anything with, because they also imply that he might be his son as well.
I don't want to believe that. I think that's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's very gross.
Especially, I guess there's like a bonus chapter where it explains that Konatsu is like kind of in love with them, but then he's not interested in her, so like he's always like turning her down. It's not like she's like lovey dovey with him, like she's like really brash with them, but like sweet. She's like real like tsundere around him.
Okay.
And then so yeah. I really hope he's not the...
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. I was like,
why?
I know, why add that? That's something that I don't really... Maybe it's the Josai part of the...
Yeah, that has to be it, which is kind of sucks. I guess I was like reading people like, oh, that was like a nod from the mangaka for the her ex him fans, essentially, like maybe it's his.
And I was okay, like, so that was just like a fan thing, a fan service thing.
Yeah. So I was like, man, it would totally blow.
Yeah, I would not enjoy if that was like the real thing.
Yeah, I have a lot of cinematography notes here.
So you just want to go into like art and cinematography?
I'm not trying to think of anything else.
General?
Yeah, hold on, let me look.
What year did you say this anime came out?
2016.
Okay.
I think it also ended in 2016 as well, the manga.
Okay. I saw that you could read it on Crunchyroll, right?
Yeah. We're jumping to cinematography. I guess
art first, right?
Talk about art first. This has a weird almost like haiku art direction, which is weird. I don't know if you noticed that.
It definitely
too.
Does, yeah. In the eyes for sure.
In like the line work as well in the characters.
Mm-hmm. Sharp lines.
Yeah. So I looked it up because I was like, oh, maybe it's the same character artist, and it's not. But it really seemed like, because like at first I didn't think it was Studio Dean. At first I thought it was
Production IG.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, if I would have had to have guessed, I would have probably said Production IG.
Yeah. But everyone looks amazing in there. There's like no, I don't think there's a bad character design in this anime.
Yeah, for sure. And like one thing I really enjoyed was like just like the. So of course, you know, I really like the traditional clothes and all like the regular clothes. But like one thing that I really enjoyed was like the outfits in general. And it has nothing to do with like art style or anything. It's just like the time period that they're in. It's like really weird because it's like what early, it's like 40s and 50s, right? That this anime
it starts
takes
in the 40s. Most,
yeah, it starts in the 40s.
And then the majority of it, no, I guess it's probably starts.
It's half and half.
Yeah, probably starts in the 50s. It's like 50s, 60s. No, probably like 50s around there. 50s, 60s probably. Post-war Japan, essentially.
Yeah.
I love watching the world around them evolve. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and as I was saying, you know, what I really enjoyed was just like, it's like a really weird time for like an anime to take place, because it's like at the crossroad of like a lot of like wearing traditional clothes like all year round, and like, and then just like wearing like a suit and tie and stuff like
Western,
that.
Western
wear. So it was really interesting because like you could see that with it, like the two main characters in the first half is Suke Roku, the third generation.
Yeah.
Wait, is it the third or second? Second.
Yeah.
He's always wearing like the traditional clothes, even though they're like battered and torn and stuff like that. But what's his name? Kiko? Kiko-san?
Kikuhiko?
Kikuhiko. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's always wearing like regular clothes. Like he wears traditional clothes with his when he's performing, but he's always wearing like regular like a button down with like a sweater vest or something like that.
I love how you can see like Western influences starting to creep in like the longer time goes on, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite character design in this anime?
I think probably young Shinosuke, maybe.
Oh, she's adorable. I think mine.
Yeah,
is
he's
probably
super cute.
Miyukichi.
Oh yeah.
She's like very beautiful, and like she has like her really cool geisha outfits. Her really cool different wears. Really cool. Like one of my favorite shots with her is when the writer guy talks about seeing her at the spring town when he was young, and then like seeing her again and she's more mature. I thought that was a really cool juxtaposition of her characters.
I was gonna mention that if you were gonna talk about something else.
All right, cinematography, Jay.
Cinematography.
Do you have any cinematography notes you want to bring up?
You have a lot, so.
Yeah, basically, a little inside baseball here for you, everybody. Usually, I have all my notes compiled together, and then as I go along, which I should do it more even, I should actually separate my notes. But usually, I put all my notes together and then sort them out as we're doing the podcast. All my notes I have here are all cinematography notes, so... All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of like symbolism in this anime, and a lot of really cool shots.
All right, so, I guess let's talk about literal cinematography first.
Like shots.
Before I get into abstract stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The Kikuhiko's bad performance. His first performance he does.
Yeah.
He's like sweating, and it's like the shots. It's like real static.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not moving as much. You can see, like, all the shots that whenever the camera does move is like him sweating, or him like starting to panic, and it's like as the apex of the story is going, like the music starts swelling and it's like almost out of tune music, like he's like trying to rush to get over it. Oh, it's like perfect, and you just feel the eyes just like staring at him.
Yeah, they're like staring daggers into the audience. It's like really crazy.
Let's see. Oh, and then I guess since we're talking about one of my favorite things about how they, I guess, film Rakugo, or how they shoot Rakugo, I guess, is the really sharp cuts they do when when they're changing characters within the story. I really love that, and it's like different. Not only is it a cut, it's like a cut to a different angle.
Yeah, so like you'll be looking right for one character, and then be looking left as another character, and there'd be a hard cut in between those.
Yeah,
when he goes in between, and it's really nice, really cool.
It looks like two characters talking to each other.
Yeah, you know, speaking of like just doing different characters, shout out to the voice actors for doing like all these voices for like the stories. It's really cool.
Oh my god, this might be one of my favorite like Japanese voice acting.
Yeah, anime. For sure.
Everybody delivered like a super strong performance in it.
Mm-hmm.
And god, I was actually glad. I don't know how a dub of this would actually like work. It'd be so hard to do a dub.
Yeah, it'd be crazy hard.
I probably would have watched the dub, but god, I do really appreciate watching the sub on this, cuz then you get like the full art of it.
Yeah, you get like the full immersion.
Ooh, so, god, one of my favorite shots from the first season is when Miyokichi and Sukeroku are. It's like when Miyokichi gets dumped, and Sukeroku's like just sitting there, like relaxing, and then she gets on top of him.
Yeah.
And, before that scene starts, it's like a red light. Like there's like a red filter like around the whole room, and like, and then she, like, she gets on top of them, and the red light still there. Then they start getting serious, and the red light goes away. And I thought that was really, really cool, like a really cool shot. God, when speaking of that, when Kikuhiko is breaking up with her. Like, oh my god, like, both the voice directing in that scene and then the actual animation directing is terrific. Because you understand, like, it's a static shot. It's like a static shot from the side.
Yeah.
And then the only time it ever cuts to a different angle is on Kikuhiko's, like, body, like, his body language. So it's like he's like tensing up, or like he's acting tough. He's like sweating again, like from the first performance almost.
Yeah. But,
oh, I think I mentioned this because I was editing the Fate podcast earlier this week, but that totally reminded me of like Shakespeare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, the next time I'm gonna see you will be at the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And lo and behold, where does he see her? No, I don't think that's hell, but
yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, yeah, I guess so.
You know, I really like the idea, because you know how like the towards the end of the anime the building burns down, right?
Yeah.
And it ends up in heaven. or at the bridge
in Purgatory. Between,
yeah, Purgatory. And that, I don't know if you know, but it's like in Japanese culture, they think everything has a soul.
A kami.
Yeah, a kami. Like everything has its own soul, and like, so it's really interesting that when like something burns down, it's like it'll descend into, I guess, Purgatory.
Right. It's funny because Suke Roku has that line. He goes, "Man, I wish people would just start burning stuff down on the other side."
Yeah, so we could have all these cool buildings.
It's so cool. God. So, oh man, I think it's episode 9. I'm almost done with my first season notes. I think it's like episode 11 or 12 where they fall. They fall from the balcony.
The hotel.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's so perfect to see, like, it's like sparkles, like, oh, I don't know how to describe it. Like as they're falling towards the ground, it becomes like really dark until like you can't see anything. Like the screen becomes black, and there's like not a water effect, but like a sparkle effect as they're falling, and it's like white, and then they hit the ground and it like turns into blood red. And I thought that was really, really cool.
And that's how the episode ended, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude. You know, that's like the endings for this anime, a lot of the times had like that almost like a Scum's Wish kind of ending.
Like, oh, shoot.
Like, yeah, like, oh.
Keep going.
And then the freaking nice jazz music comes in.
I know, it's so good.
And you're left to like wallow in like what just happened. Oh. Like the really cool one that I enjoyed was that at the last episode. The last episode of the first season, I guess, first half. I think there's 13 episodes in the first half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that one's like Kyo. What's his name? Just Kiko.
Kiko Hiko.
He's at the grave, and the newly Yotaro, right? Yeah. Yotaro. He wants to be named the third generation Suke Roku, and then like his reaction was like really good, and then it ends.
Oh.
It's like almost like his past is coming back to haunt him. It's like almost things are coming like full circle.
Right. Also real quick from that episode, with Suke Roku's bit he did, and you see Konatsu's reactions as he's saying this story, and like her full range of like joy and sadness as it's going.
Yeah,
very strong. I really wanted when Yotaro went to go see it, and he imagined himself like watching the video took him back to that era.
Yeah,
which is like a really cool, also really cool euphemism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wished he like looked over to the left or right and saw her sitting there.
Oh, as a kid?
Yeah, as a kid.
That would have really been cool. Great.
Doo-doo.
You know, speaking of that scene, just like that whole like how it blends from the film all the way and then into it where he feels like he's in the audience.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool transition because not only was it like shot really well, the sound directing also was really cool because it went from like an old timey real like crappy audio to like how the anime normally is, and it was a really cool transition.
I also have speaking of Konatsu, her performance for the kids. I thought that was a really, really cute scene.
Yeah. And that might be my favorite story is the really long name one.
That's a really cute. There's a lot of really good stories that get repeated.
Yeah, that's like a story that I'd probably want, like I'd want to translate and then like tell it to my son or something.
That's the one that really does sound like a picture book.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sounds like a chrysanthemum. You know, I don't know if you ever don't know that about that picture book, but.
I mean, like the closest thing that I could think of that it like resembles in like a like Western, like storytelling is that John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Right.
It's like that. That's probably like where the story came from, or something.
Or like I said, like I don't know if you ever heard of like Chrysanthemum. So like Chrysanthemum is about a girl who has a really long name, but it's like a name of a flower, and people make fun of her for having a like, oh, okay. confusing name. So it's almost like that, which is not as long. But yeah, I really loved like her how they filmed, like how she had nerves and like how she ended up having a lot of fun with it near the end.
Yeah, her like freaking like sigh of relief and joy when she came out from when she was done with it. It was like really cool.
So when Kikuhiko passes out the first time during the incense performance, he like spills the water or the tea or whatever that's right next to him.
Yeah.
And it spills on the red cushion and it makes it look like wet with blood. I thought that was a really a really cool addition to it. And the like the incense like forming around him, like it looked like it was choking him. That was really cool.
Yeah. Like really cool like mood setting and ambience. It really really is really cool.
Yeah, the Shinigami or the god of performance during the fire in the place. That was that was a real cool shot of you see him in the background through all the flames just standing on the front of the stage.
Yeah.
Looking like a like an evil Sukeroku. That was really dope.
Yeah. And I have a question.
Yeah.
So in the second opening, Sukeroku is in it, right? And he reveals the ribcage of Kikuhiku. Yeah. Does his eyes change with like different episodes?
I didn't notice. That'd be pretty cool though.
Because I felt like some episodes it was more red, and then other episodes they were brown.
That could be it. I didn't notice.
Okay. But it's definitely red. It was definitely red in that scene.
And
without transitioned.
Yeah, without going into my favorite scene, I'm just gonna refer to it here. But we can talk about it a little bit later. But the purple pillow. That scene had me bawling my eyes out.
And that's like at the very end of the anime.
Yeah, there are two scenes that made me like really like cry. It was the purple pillow, and then when he sees the chauffeur ferrying the boat.
Oh god.
Oh, I was an emotional wreck when I was like, oh no, he died too, and then he didn't. Yeah. He didn't die. He was fine.
And then at the very end of the anime, he reveals that he did it for both his masters.
I know, which is pretty cool.
Really cool.
I like how he says it too. He's like, oh, you know I ferried him to the other side, right? Like, oh, yeah. Sure you did.
Just keep saying that.
All right. Do you have any thing you want to bring up?
More cinematography?
Yeah. I know, I kind of took over there because I had a bunch, but do you have any?
Well, not none that you like mentioned. Like, well, yeah, I can't really think of anything. I'm pretty much you covered everything.
All right, so I don't know about you, but I don't have any least favorite characters.
I loved everybody.
The only character...
even the shady classes guy.
Oh, I was gonna say the only character I think I didn't like was the reviewer, the snob reviewer guy.
Yeah.
But even then, he's only in like 2-3 scenes, so I don't really care. Do you have an underutilized character?
Shinosuke, probably. He's a underutilized / favorite.
Anyone else?
And what else? Like, I got more characters?
Yeah, that underutilized. Mine is probably the mob boss, but I think they
use him, for sure.
But I think they use him like accordingly. He doesn't need to be in the anime too much.
Like, yeah, one thing I would like them to touch a little bit more upon is his relationship with Kikuhiko.
Oh, right. I think he was a patron. He was like one of his patrons. Yeah.
Because it like towards the end of the anime, like they seem like they're like really good friends, but
the Ma-san, the lady who runs the geisha house, I would have liked to see more of her too.
Oh yeah,
Mama-san, I should say. There it is. God, I think she's a really cool character. Like even like letting them run off with the till, she's like, eh, oh, whatever, yeah. Like it happens. Like she was like, let them run away and start a new life, and she was like, ah, it's fine.
And what a life that they ran to.
That how? Oh, another really cool shot. I don't know if you even noticed, but
the quick shot of the ruined house.
Yeah. That was real cool. I love that.
Yeah.
All right, favorite characters. You already kind of you touched on them, but Shinosuke, cute kid.
Yeah, very. Yeah, really loved how he did Rakugo as a kid and an adult. Both really good.
Yeah, he also why the purple pillow got me. Pillow got me all choked up.
Yeah.
Just because his one thing was he wanted to see Kikuhiko perform one last time.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, if you ask him, he'll do it.
Yeah, definitely. If it was from him, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then Koyuki, that's his sister. I thought she was super adorable. I would have liked to have seen more of the interactions, but we only
Little
get...
Snow? That's what her name translates to, right?
Yeah, she's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I like how she's like, I don't want to do Rakugo. I just really like listening to it, though.
Yeah. It's much more fun to listen to than do.
Sorry, just drinking water.
For me, I really loved Konatsu.
Yo, Konatsu might be my... So, it's between... Okay. Konatsu is my favorite character. She's so cool. I love I love tomboy characters in anime.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so brash and like rude. And and she has like really short hair, which I also dig. She's like she's awesome.
Yeah, I love the same thing. Like I love how rude she is.
I also love that she she wanted to be a mom. That was really noble of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think I've had such a love relationship with the character, but Miyokichi, I started off like really loving her, and then I was like, God, if she like leaves Kikuhiko to be with Suke Roku, I was gonna be real disappointed. Like and like she only gets with them to like kind of spite him.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Suke Roku was more attentive to her. So I can kind of see why she did it.
Yeah.
But then it turned around again when Kikuhiko goes to go see him, and she just abandons Konatsu and him, you know?
Yeah.
To run off with the dude, and I'm like that, and that got me super annoyed.
Yeah.
But then I think they redeemed her or somewhat redeemed her later on in the underworld.
Yeah.
She was like very like
a little bit. I mean, you like she talks about how she cares about Konatsu and all that stuff, but if you loved her so much, then why did you leave him to fend for herself? And
she didn't know.
And I don't know.
She didn't know. That's it.
But yeah, I agree with you on her. I really liked her at the beginning, and I think her voice actor was really good as well.
Yeah, real sweet. Her voice, almost so sweet that like I couldn't trust her, which is like the point. I feel.
Yeah, because like she's like a work kind of like a working girl, right?
Yeah, she's a geisha. A geisha / prostitute. All right, I have Yotaro. I really love we get to see him grow up. in the last season.
We get to see everybody grow up.
Yeah, it's so cool. That's probably like one of my low-key favorite parts about this anime. You get to watch like 50 years of people growing up.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And like when you think about it, it's like you start with Kikuhiko from when he was a kid all the way to like where his own apprentice is like an old man and he's the master now.
Right. It's so good. Those are
really cool.
And then, yeah, Kikuhiko and Sukeroku, both of them, really cool. I think Sukeroku is a scum F word. I'm trying not to curse. I think he's scum.
Rakugo pretty good, though.
Yeah, he does Rakugo really good. But if you, like, I can't be like, oh, I hate Miyokichi for leaving them when, when, you know, all he does is drink and not around the house. Like, his daughter, his, like, five-year-old daughter has to go out and provide for him because he doesn't want to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not because he's, like, depressed or anything. He just doesn't want to work. And that's ridiculous. I don't know. Yeah. I was real mad.
Kikuhiko came to the town and, like, was, like, busting his balls to like go do something, he was still like lousing about and like barely doing anything, pulling out weeds, and that's it. That's all he did.
Yeah, but hey, he does rock and go real good though.
At least. Yeah, good storyteller.
And that's pretty much all I have. I don't know about you.
If any more. I mean, all the other characters. I mean, the driver guy, Masudo-san.
Yeah, Masudo. Yeah, he is really cool.
Yeah, I really loved him. He's very, I really liked that he was, like, a part of, like, everybody's lives.
I kind of wish we got to see his family, because he had a wife and kids and grandkids. Yeah,
kids and grandkids.
Yeah, I would have really loved to see that. All right, favorite, I don't think I have any least favorite moments in this anime.
Honestly, yeah, I don't think so either.
I can't think of anything, like, down. I've talked a lot already, but I want to talk about the purple pillow moment. And the purple pillow, real quick, as a reminder, basically, whoever you want to see the performance the most, the pillow will bring them.
Whoever wanted to see the performance the most,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, was it the person who wanted to see it, or the performer up wanted them to see? That's what I thought it was.
I thought it was whoever wanted to precede the performer the most got was on the pillow.
No, oh, okay, maybe that was it. I thought it was not like
what the performer wanted.
Whoever the performer wanted to see the most wanted them.
Well, either way, it's good.
Either way, it's good. Yeah. So, like, I really love seeing young Konatsu, still all moody with her mom, but then hugging her and being like real close. And then her interactions with Shinosuke was really adorable. Like, I really love that he chose that story.
Yeah, for sure.
I even like how he changed the name, like, which is really funny because, Kikuhiko's really by the book. He's like, the story needs to stay the same.
Yeah, and very, you need to uphold the tradition.
Yeah, and but then he changed the story.
Yeah, so that it's Yatoro.
Yeah, Yatoro, right? Yeah. And that I thought that was a really cool character progression for him. Yeah, but that scene got me real choked up. When he looks outside to see who's there for him, and it's Shinosuke. I was like, oh, like I was wondering who it was going to be, but yeah, the Shinosuke, it was real, it was real touching.
Yeah. I don't know if Aaron.
Yeah, the lights.
I don't know if you know. Yeah, yeah, no, power went out here. Good thing I'm connected to the internet on my phone.
Oh, there you go. Oh God. Good thing.
I know, got lucky there.
I would have been real upset that if you would have disconnected right now, because we're like almost done.
I know.
Do you have any favorite moments you want to mention, Jay, that we didn't talk about yet?
I really liked Yatoro's performance of Shinigami.
Oh, really good.
At the very end, really good. And I really I really liked the prison one as well from Kikuhiko.
Yeah.
Really good. I guess the performances in general are really great.
Yeah. Well, what was the other favorite performances? I liked
the
bonefish one. The fishing up bones.
Oh yeah.
That was like one of my favorite ones.
The performance at the school was really good.
Oh, that one's really, I love that one.
The one in episode one, the one about the blue cushion thing.
Oh,
about the burglar.
The burglar, that one's real strong. I love that one.
I wish that one was hilarious.
I wish that one would have made a return.
Recurred more.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish it would have made a return somewhere. Because there's some of them that get a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. There's not much more I want to say, but I really like this anime. I wish it went on for longer than it actually did.
Yeah, I wish it was an ongoing anime.
Yeah, I would watch 100 episodes of this.
Oh hell yeah! Even though like the pacing is like pretty kind of slow, I mean I think it's entranced.
Yeah, I don't even think the pacing is slow. There was never a moment where I was like, this is boring. I always felt like episodes were end like over too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any other thing you want to mention before we end the wrap up?
I know you wanted to talk about the fire scene with the Shinigami like dragging him up and stuff. Weren't you gonna like talk about that and like how you like that one?
That was the one I really wanted to talk about.
Well, that scene with the burning building and the Shinigami and all that stuff, I really, that was like a really weird for me because, like, it was like a really scary kind of moment. Like, oh my god, he's gonna die and he's dragging him up to heaven, I guess.
Right.
And then, but like it was almost, but for me, I don't know if you felt the same way, but it was almost like somewhat comforting. Because, like, he was almost, like, kind of, like, him, like, almost embracing the fact. But then he realized, like, how he didn't want to die because he kind of had, like, things left undone.
His family.
Yeah. But it's just, like, that embrace that the Shinigami was giving him while they were descending was, like, it almost kind of felt warm to me.
Yeah, you know what? Because there's a line that he, Kikuhiko, utters throughout the series where he's, like, there have been times where he wanted to kill himself, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because he mentions like Konatsu, like he had to take care of a Konatsu. He couldn't leave her, even though he wanted to. Yeah,
it was always about loved ones.
Yeah, he mentions that too. He goes, again, you're like, love is keeping me alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he goes to jump off the bridge and like luckily they're there to see him walk and stop him. And God, it's so, I was really hoping, not really hoping, but I kind of wanted like for him to be on his deathbed and the one to pull the plug was going to be Konatsu. Yeah. To kind of fulfill like in a bittersweet way. Like,
yeah, she said she was going to kill him. He went peacefully.
Yeah. No, but she like always said like, I'm going to kill you. And that would have been her killing him.
Yeah.
Which would have been pretty cool, I feel.
Well, I really like the way that he did pass was like the last thing he, I think, remembers was him accepting the apprenticeship from Konatsu.
I also really love that we don't see the scene of him like passing out and like we see his last good memory. We don't see him like
in the hospital or anything like that.
Yeah, I really love that.
Yeah.
He slipped into a coma and like died before they could get him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. He didn't realize anything until he was already on the bridge.
Yeah, I love that. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I guess I didn't even mention that, but like the whole purgatory episode, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really cool.
I loved it.
I hope heaven's like that.
That's what I was going to say. If there is an afterlife, I really hope it is like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's Shakey's. Let's go get some pizza.
Yo. No, I know, right?
Even though Shakey's still exists.
the Shakey's that they knocked, the commie from the Shakey's.
Yeah.
Down in San Jose that doesn't exist anymore.
Let's go get some potatoes.
Oh, man. Go get some wedges.
I know.
I guess the one thing I didn't bring up for favorite moments, but it was Kikehiko reciting the lover suicide. The lover suicide Rakugo. I think he does that, I think, before. No, does he do it before? I think he does it before he breaks up with the geisha.
Yeah.
And it's, I thought it was just a real cool, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Foreshadowing to the future. Mm-hmm.
That was a good story, too, of, like, how, like, because it was, like, you know, a lover suicide, like, Romeo and Juliet and stuff like that. But it was also, like, really comedic.
Yeah.
With a guy let's go drown ourselves. Oh, but I can't swim.
He's like, yeah, exactly.
No, that's perfect.
And then, like, he jumps before her, and then she's like, oh, I have a patron. Sorry.
Yeah, and but he survived.
He survived, so it's fine.
Yeah, because the water was shallow.
I know it's, oh god, it's so good.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't even talk about how crazy the scene of Miyokichi killing or trying to
Stabbing.
Yeah. Well, she was gonna stab herself, but then ended up tripping and she said she tripped and stabbed Sukiroku instead.
And it wasn't deep. Because he lunged after her when she tried to fall, or when she fell.
Yeah, poor. Would you have kept the secret from Konatsu?
Yeah.
I think Konatsu knows.
Actually, yeah, she did. She had that memory.
Yeah.
She has the memory of, that's like one thing that I like really enjoyed was like, because at the very early on, we see that scene of like Kikuhiko like holding Sukiroke all bloody and stuff. Right. And then we're led to believe, and then when Kukuhiko like tells the story of like he like lies, and I thought that was what actually happened was just that everybody fell, and but I was and then they bring it back.
I like how like his lie was like a little too cliche.
Yeah, cliche. Yeah, for sure.
Something to happen, you know.
Yeah, like, I even thought like when that happened, I was like, yeah, that sounds like a really like a folklore kind of thing.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I love you. I'm sorry. And then they just accidentally fall.
Yeah.
But no, it was.
I'd be too scared to sit on that little balcony.
Good thing on Kikuhiko for saving Konatsu, though. He like.
Yeah.
Quick thinking and grabbed her.
Oh. But yeah, I don't think I would ever tell her like what actually happened
right.
Yeah, because that would probably
devastating.
Depress her. Yeah, that's devastating news, and
yeah,
you
killed your parents.
Really? Yeah, it probably could have her probably want to commit suicide or something.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Anything else you want to
mention? On that note.
Yeah, on that note. Any else thing you want to mention, Jay, before we end the wrap-up?
Now, this is a great anime.
It's really good. I am so
glad that you picked this anime. It was like, I was telling like my wife and like, I didn't tell any of my coworkers because I know like none of them that would be interested in something
I feel like
this,
Nancy would dig this anime.
Yeah. But the thing is, my wife is, she would.
Anti-anime.
No, she's anti anything that I like.
Oh my god.
So if I recommend anything, she's like probably never gonna watch it.
You saw that this is trash. Don't watch this. She'll watch it. God, no, but it's real. Oh man, I really enjoyed it.
This is like such a big surprise for me.
You can probably guess what we're gonna give it already. But
yeah,
but I want to mention this is one of the special anime that when you watch it, you know you're watching something special, I feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is most of you got to go watch it now stuff that we recommend. Like, mm-hmm. when you're watching it, you know, like, this is, I need to be watching this. This is special.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's so good. Anyway.
I don't, like, for me personally, like, just given, like, the subject matter of, like, this focuses a lot on, like, aging and, like, death. And that's like, a lot of things that, like, kind of, I really shy away from because, like, that's, like, stuff that scares me.
Right.
But, like, man, I felt this anime was, like, so comforting with, like, that kind of stuff. Like, it definitely, it's definitely really good with how it handles everything.
The subject matter.
Yeah.
And even, like, not even, like, the death of people, but, like, the death of culture as well, which is pretty crazy.
Yes.
So it's, like, the Western infiltration of Japan, and it's, like, the death of Rakugo. They mentioned, like,
cultural all the Rakugo fads. Places, like, yeah.
Well, they talk about, like, cultural fads last for, like, 50 years, I think they said, mm-hmm. or something like that. And then after 50 years, if they're still around, they just start waning in popularity, or they just start disappearing over time.
Yeah. But,
like, Rakugo has stood the test of time for 400 years or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think in the last episode they said that there was, like, a whole bunch of, like, apprentices, right?
Yeah, they're starting to rebuild Rakugo,
mm-hmm.
Which is really, really cool. Like, it didn't die. He was right.
Yeah.
He didn't let him. He didn't let Hikohiko take Rakugo with him to the grave.
Yep.
All right, Jay. What's first? Accessibility.
Accessibility.
It gets high.
Yeah.
Like,
anybody could watch this.
Anybody can watch this.
It's a little fast with, like, the text. If you read, well, when you're reading, and there's a lot of, like,
thick, which is weird.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. Like, it's real easy to digest most of the conversations happening.
I think, like, the hardest one to, like, really, like, understand is Yotaro, because he talks. He's the fastest talker.
Right. Same thing with Suketsu or Sukotsu or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He also talks really fast in his delivery. And then you can get it on Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Real simple. Real easy.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, Jay?
Rewatchability?
High.
Yeah.
Really high.
I would definitely watch this again.
What's the thing you would change, Jay?
I wish this was ongoing.
Yeah, that's it. Me too. I wish it was just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another season. Season 3. Good to see the the future, how it looks in the hands.
Yeah, Shinosuke as a master.
Exactly.
And his sister being a shimasen player.
That's so dope. All right, Jay. Moment of truth. I think this is a heavy pass for me, Jay.
Oh my god, yeah. This is a niche pass.
A niche pass. No, this is a gotta go watch.
Yeah, for sure. Gotta go watch.
I think this might be a top fiver anime for me.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I would say definitely top 10.
Yeah, definitely top 10. I would definitely put this in top 10. Maybe I think it might crack my top 5. It's that good. The vocal performances, the character arcs.
Yeah, from beginning to end, this anime had me. It had me. I was at the edge of my seat the whole time.
God, so good. And real easy. I mean, for me, I'm probably for you too. Real easy to watch. I think I watched 8 episodes. No, I watched 10 episodes today.
Yeah, it's very easy to watch.
Yeah, very digestible. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And, like, given, like, the subject matter, like, watching, like, a bunch of death stuff at night, like, it did not bother me at all.
Really good. I loved it.
Yeah.
And now that we've taken our bow, Jay.
Mm-hmm. And the incense candle's gone out.
Exactly. the Buddha's incense has run out. What do you have for us next week, Jay?
So, kind of, like, on the subject of, I guess, of dying. so I'll just say it. We're going to do Danganronpa the animation, the original one.
No. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because I feel like it's an appropriate time because like the it's like the anniversary, just like it just passed, right? Or is it coming up?
Just passed. I feel.
Yeah, it just passed, and like the games are going on mobile, so I feel like it's a good time to finish up the Danganronpa stuff. And there's only 12 episodes, so it's an easy watch.
The anime, Jay. I'll let you.
Hey, I know you don't.
I hate this anime.
I actually wanted to pick this last week, but I really got my last pick.
But One Piece.
Yeah, I had that super giant itch for One Piece.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now the problem Danganronpa the anime has.
And, what is that?
And it's the biggest problem that most video game anime have. It's a 30-hour game trying to fit into 12 episodes of anime.
Yeah.
God. Real quick, Jay, I want to know. I don't know what you're doing to us right now. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence, the investigation time, and trial are our one episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one episode of setup and then one episode of investigation.
Everything
and trial.
Else.
Yep.
You know, so, I'm kind of, you know, just like a little bit of inside. I've said this before, but not a big reason, but like a small kind of hint reason why I picked this anime is just so I could add Celeste to the waifu list.
There you go. I mean, you could have technically put her in last year. She was.
Oh, yeah. But that was just like an image on like a profile picture thing.
No, they show her burning. She's burning on a cross.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, she's all burnt, that. I think.
burnt waifu.
Yeah. Yeah, Danganronpa the anime, game I love. A game series I think we both love.
Yeah, for sure.
But anime, I do not like. You know what? I'll say this about the anime, even though I'm already tipping my hand for next week. But the one thing I do enjoy about this anime, I think to look out for, is the execution time animated. Mm. Those look really cool.
Okay.
But... All right, 12 episodes.
12 episodes, easy.
Dubs on Funimation. Sucks that they couldn't get all the cast returning to do voices. There's some missing.
Okay.
But
that's fine.
I just hate
people
that.
Are busy.
Yeah, I just hate that. It sucks. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, if you liked us, go ahead. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yep.
Follow us on SoundCloud, YouTube. Wherever you get your podcasts, leave a like, mm-hmm. leave a review.
Send us an email if you want to recommend us something or any kind of like constructive criticism.
Yeah, reach out to us. It doesn't even have to be constructive. It can just be you guys suck. We're like, all right, cool. Thanks. We appreciate it. All right,
cool. Check out this anime.
Yeah, and that's animecherrybomb@yahoo.com.
Yep.
And that's it. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Or listen.
Yeah.
Stay performing, everybody.
Yeah. Staying alive.